Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All righty. Well, hey, welcome as we jump into a brand new four-week series entitled The Basics. So we're excited about some things that we're going to go over and learn about in those. But before we do, let's just jump in. I want to share a couple things of what's going on. So tonight we do have student life from 5 to 6 p.m. So if you know a student, student life is for those that's from grade 6 through 12. And tonight they are actually starting a brand new series as well entitled Not a Fan. So if you know a student or you are a student, this requested that you wear a t-shirt with something that you are a giant fan of. So that's something they're doing fun tonight. So that is tonight from 5 to 6. And then next Sunday, I want to remind you about prayer. So that's from 6 to 7 p.m. And childcare is provided for prayer. And then finally, life groups are launching. Next week is actually going to be deemed Life Group Sunday. So we'll say it real fun, like Life Group Sunday. That's next week. But we're going to talk about a bunch of life groups next week, and it's exciting. But right now, we do have a sign-ups available, so you can just simply pull out the information in your bulletin there, and then the sign-off there, you can just simply tear that off, put it in the offering basket at the end of service, and that's how you can sign up for life groups. And we're excited about those, and we're excited to really help people grow closer to God through community, because that's what it's kind of all about here. That's why we do church. That's why we come together, is to love people with a life change and love people together as well. And really, I'm excited because that's part of what we're going to be talking about through this series. Again, we're starting a series entitled The Basics. So what we're doing is we are going back to the start. We're going back to some foundational things that really help us grow in our spiritual lives. And when I think about going back to the basics, I'm reminded of this story of this great football coaching legend named Vince Lombardi. So, all right, how many of you kind of Vince Lombardi fan? All right, how many of you guys are NFL fans? Right. So right now, some NFL fans. So right now, it's the playoffs, and everybody's playing for the coveted Lombardi Trophy. The trophy, if you couldn't figure out, is actually named after this guy. Crazy, right? Now, most of us, we live in Ohio, so really our team is already gone. I mean, if you're a Browns fan, like, you got the preseason, and that was it, right? And if you're a Bengals fan, well, good news, Marvin Lewis, he's coming back again next year, right? So what are we thinking? And then the Steelers, well, some of you guys may even cross the border and root for the Steelers, but who saw the Jaguars coming out like that, right? Come on, some crazy stuff. But when I think of this, when I think of the basics, there's the greatest football coach of all time. And again, that's this guy named Vince Lombardi. And maybe you've heard this story before, but he was the coach of the Green Bay Packers. And he actually had lost the championship the year before he comes to his team. And his team was good, right? His team was legit. They were good enough to get to the final game. And back in those days, it actually wasn't called the Super Bowl. It was the championship game. So in 1968, they lost the championship, so they come in, and then in 1961, the first day of training camp, they all come together. And again, this is one of the, still was a great coach at that time, so all his players are probably thinking, like, dude, he's going to have some crazy ways to get to the next level. Like, he's probably scheming up some intense game plans, he's scheming up some intense plays, some different things, and they're probably all coming there like, okay, this is going to be one of those intense years. But he comes to the meeting, and this is what he does. He grabs a football, and he gets in front of all his team, and he says, "This is a football." Again, these are professional football players. Like, the answer to that question, like, the answer to that response was just, duh. Like, they knew it, right? But he goes to and he says, "This is a football." And then he begins to go through all of the basics. He starts from square one. He went back to the fundamentals. And he put an emphasis on blocking, on tackling, on catching, on throwing. And the result was this. The result was that the Green Bay Packers were better than anybody else at the fundamentals. They were better at anybody else at the things that are basic to make things happen, right? And in fact, the next year his team went on to beat the New York Giants and again what's called the NFL Championship, because the Lombardi Trophy wasn't there because he was building his legacy. They beat the Giants 37-0, and then he even went on to win more championships. In fact, he won 5 NFL championships in a span of 7 years, including 3 in a row. And he never coached a team with a losing record. And the reason is he went back to the basics. In fact, many successful coaches have copied what he's done. But this strategy doesn't only apply to football. This strategy doesn't only apply to sports, but it applies to our lives as well. Through our lives, focusing on the basics is what determines positive results. In fact, that's what I want us to understand from this series. I want us to understand that focusing on the basics is what determines positive results. I mean, if you look at it, nearly everything in life can be boiled down to the basics, can be boiled down to some fundamentals that we must truly master in order to excel at something else. I mean, think about it, like think about some of your New Year's resolutions. Did anybody make a New Year's resolution to get in better shape this year, right? And how are we doing on that? Some of you guys are like, this is the greatest year ever. I'm doing really, really well. Some of you are like me who haven't even started until yesterday, right? But really, what's it come down to? To lose weight, to be in better shape, what do we have to do? We have to go back to the basics, right? We have to go back to the fact that we just need to eat smart. We need to actually work out. There's some portion control. We actually have to get up and do it. Listen, we could read books on all these different types of techniques. We could read books upon books on all these different types of workouts, on all these different types of diet plans and everything. But it really comes down to actually waking up, putting on your shoes, going out and taking that first step, doing the basics. It comes down to actually planning what you're going to eat and prepping for it, right? Going back to the basics. And it always goes back to the basics. Mastery in nearly every endeavor is the result of having a deep understanding of the basics, of the fundamentals. Focusing on the basics is what determines positive results. And the same is true for our spiritual lives as well. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 15, Paul urges Timothy to continue on and to go back to the basics. And he urges us to do the same thing. So this is really our memory verse for this series. So if you have your Bible, go there with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. And again, if you don't have a Bible, we always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. It's an incredible resource that you can put on your phone or your tablet, and you can take it with you wherever you go. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 15 says this. It says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known that the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And so we're called to go back to what we've learned. We're called to go back to the things that we take for granted, that we're convinced of, that we know without a doubt, right? We're called to continually go back to these things. And when we do, what happens is that we grow in wisdom. We grow in the wisdom and the salvation that comes from our faith in Christ Jesus, right? That those basics are what leads to wisdom. Those basics are what leads to positive results in our spiritual lives. A focus on the basics is what determines positive results. So for the next 4 weeks, what we're going to jump into is we're going to jump into some basics, into some fundamentals of a spiritual life, of a Christian life. And we're really going to jump into a couple different areas. We're going to jump in and talk about prayer. Then next week is Life Group Sunday. We're going to talk about the importance and the basic and the fundamental of community. We're going to talk about even journaling, and we're going to talk about Bible study as well. But today what I want to do is I want to jump into the basic of prayer. I want to jump into the fundamental of prayer. Now, if you think about it, you hear the word prayer, like, and you put that to basics. Basics obviously doesn't mean easy. Basics doesn't obviously, it doesn't mean simple. And basics doesn't necessarily mean just something that's small, because prayer is exact opposite of all those. Like, prayer is a huge thing. Prayer is actually can be one of the most powerful elements of our lives. In fact, there's a lot that's been said describing what prayer is and what prayer can do. You even just do a Google search on quotes about prayer, you can just find tons and tons of them. A couple of ones that I just pulled out, Charles Spurgeon, who was an incredible preacher back in the day, he said this about prayer. He says, "Prayer moves the arm that moves the world." He also stated that prayer is the slender nerve that moves the hand of God Almighty. Another guy named Sam Alberry, who's a Christian editor, said this. He says, "Prayer is not the flare gun of the desperate or room service for the indulgent. It's the confidence of the adopted." There's some powerful stuff about prayer, because prayer is extremely powerful. It's basic, but it's still powerful. It's basic, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's easy. Sometimes prayer can even be hard. But really, what the most important thing about prayer is the fact that we do it and we apply it to our lives. Which leads me to the quote that I'm going to use for today, which comes from the great theologian M.C. Hammer. "You've got to pray just to make it today." Okay, so MC Hammer wasn't a theologian, but the truth is, you've got to pray just to make it today. Right? This was a truth in 1990 when he introduced this with some big baggy pants, and it's the truth today. You've got to pray just to make it today. Because prayer is foundational to our relationship with God. Prayer is foundational to our growth and to our spiritual growth. It's a spiritual basic that helps us move forward in our spiritual lives. And it's what drives us closer and closer to Christ. But again, the problem is prayer is not always easy. Like, let's just pull off some things that we're in church and trying to put this facade on. Because the truth is, there's times where we're praying can be hard, right? There's times where if we're honest with ourselves, we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to say, right? We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to say what we want to say to God. We don't know how to address God in certain ways. There's times where we just don't know how to pray. We don't necessarily know what to do. And in those times, praying actually feels weird, right? Praying feels awkward. It doesn't feel right. Sometimes we even question why we're even praying. I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves. There's times where we're plagued with things that we're going through. We're plagued with our own shame. We're plagued with our own guilt that we feel like we're not even worthy to pray. We feel like we can't even address God because we're plagued with all these things, right? We're plagued with our own insecurity. And again, it keeps us from reaching out to God. There's times where we're plagued with our own sorrows, where we've gone through something, whether it's a loss of somebody close to us, whether it's a loss of a job, whether it's a stressful moment in our lives, where we feel like, man, we can't even go to God. And when we go that way, we think, man, is he even going to listen, right? And what do? Oftentimes, what we do is we just don't pray. Oftentimes, in those moments, we forget the basics. And it even leads to sometimes one of the biggest reasons why sometimes we don't pray is this unbelief. And instead of being intentional about prayer, instead of going back to the basics, what we do is we don't set aside time and we don't make it a priority. We zone out and we zone out God. What it is it's allowing our sin or others' sin to really separate us from God. And in that moment, we always feel completely out of control. And the chances are you've probably been there before. Chances are you might even be there right now in your life. But let me remind you, you've got to pray just to make it today. Because the truth is, when we pray, it puts God back in control of every area of our lives. When we pray, we become closer to our Father. When we pray, we become closer to our Creator, to our Maker, to our Designer. When we pray, what he does is he hears us because we're opening our hearts in that form of obedience, and he hears us and he draws closer to us as well. Here's the truth about prayer. Prayer doesn't always change our circumstance, but prayer will always change us. Prayer doesn't always change our circumstance, but it will always change us because when we pray, it gives us the opportunity to truly experience who God is. When we pray, what we're doing is we're submitting to his will and not just ours. And his will is always better. Paul states it this way in Philippians 4, chapter 6 through 7. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Imagine if prayer was our first go-to. Imagine if we went back to that foundational, if we went back to that basics. Imagine what would happen, right? Imagine not being anxious in our life, right? Imagine not being plagued with worry or anxiety. Imagine experiencing the peace of God, the peace that we can't even understand. Imagine experiencing that. And imagine experiencing that peace because our hearts are guided. Our minds are guarded, right? This is what happens when we pray. This is the result of prayer. This is the result of this basic. And the good news is we can all live this out. We can all live this out if we just go back to the basics. If we just go back to the foundation that we've been taught, and we've all been taught this. In fact, we've been taught by the greatest teacher of all how to pray. We've been taught by Jesus. He teaches us in what's known as the Lord's Prayer, which is found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. So when we get to that point where we feel stuck, when we get to that point where we feel like, man, we just don't know what to say, where we're frustrated, we're in this pain, we need to go back to what Jesus taught us. We need to go back to the basics. And this is what Jesus taught us right here. It says this. It says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. This prayer is one of those prayers that we often think we should read word for word. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we're going to end the service by doing just that. But when Jesus is sharing this, what he's doing is he's giving us some elements of prayer. He's giving us some practical steps that we should use every single day in our prayer life. Right? He's giving us some things that should be included in our prayer life. So what I want to do today is I want to give us 6 action steps that we can use from this prayer and that we can use every single day in our life. So if you're taking notes, start writing these down and apply them to your life this week. In fact, what we're going to do today is we're going to do something a little bit different as well. I'm going to give you a chance to pray right at your seat after each one of these action steps. So kind of to get into the mindset of prayer, I think we're going to throw some music on in the background as well if our tech team is ready, right? Cool. So we're going to throw some music on in the background, and then in between each one of these application steps, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray right at your seat. But the first part of prayer is this. The first part of prayer is worship. The first part of prayer is to worship and to focus in on who he is. Again, worship. Worship is this exercise in value and perspective. And what we're doing when we worship is we're attaching value to who God is. We're focusing in on who he is. Again, if you look at this prayer, if you look at the way it starts like this. It starts and says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And really, really what this doing is giving 3 aspects of who God is and how he can worship and how we can worship who he is. Because it first says that he is our Father. We worship him because he's our Father. We worship him because of the relationship that we have with him. Or we are his children and we can address him in this level of intimacy. And because of that, we worship him. This is an incredible form of focusing in on who God is. And then it also says that he's in heaven. We worship him because of where he reigns from. We worship him because he reigns from heaven. Because he gives us the rights from heaven. Because everything is placed under his feet. We worship him because he has the authority over everything in existence. And we know that he's able to do whatever's necessary because he reigns from heaven. And then it finally says, and it talks about his name. We worship him because his name is hallowed. His name is holy. His name is set apart. Listen, this is more than just his name, but this is also his character. This is who he is. God is holy. God is good. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's eternal. He's unchanging. And he's full of love. He's full of mercy. And he's full of truth. And we can worship him because of his name and because of who he is and because of his character. That's what worship is. And what we worship, when we realize who God is, all of a sudden, our perspective changes. All of a sudden, everything that's going on in our life takes a different light. Because really what we're doing is we're seeing how big God is, and then we can see the problems in our life and how small they are to him. Worship invites the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it takes the focus off of our problems, and it puts the focus on the potential of our God in heaven. Worship changes our perspective, and it places a focus on who he is. And our prayers should always include worship. In fact, our prayers should even start with worship. So right now, what I want to do is I want to give you a minute, just at your seat. I'm going to go sit down as well. But I want us just to apply this right now. And I want us to use a minute just praying and worshiping at your seat. The second part of prayer life, too, is to agree. To agree with the promises of his will. To agree with the promises of God. Jesus teaches us, he says, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What this is an agreement prayer. This is a prayer of agreement with God's will. It's saying, "God, what you promised in your word, I agree with, and may be done in my life." It's taking the promises of God, it's taking his word, and it's agreeing with him in every situation, in every aspect of our life. What it truly is, it's praying God's will and not just ours. In our prayers, we need to get to the point where we're praying his will and not just ours. We need to get to the point where we're agreeing with what he's already said. We're agreeing with what he already wants to do in our lives. And the truth is, God wants good things for us. I think we sell ourselves short when we're just going off of our will. God wants good things for us. And we need to agree with that as well. So right now I want to spend another minute just praying and agreeing with God. And what we're going to do is we're going to put a couple Bible verses up there of what you can declare and what you can agree with, the promises that He already has for you. So let's spend a moment. And then after we pray a prayer of agreement, we move to a prayer of thanksgiving. Part of our prayer should be giving thanks. Jesus teaches, says, give us today our daily bread. And when we hear that, not only are we asking something, but we're remembering that God has given us things in the past as well. It's a step of saying, you know what? It's a step of saying, I remember, God, what you've done for me, and I'm giving thanks. During this Thanksgiving step, it's really remembering who God is and what He's done in our lives. And really, this should be a portion where maybe we even document parts that we're thankful for. This could be a portion where we bring out our journal and we write down our blessings. We write down the things that God has done. We write down and make an account for all the things that we can be grateful for. It's a time of reflection for what God's done in our lives. And really, when we get to this step, when we're saying we're thankful, what it does is it determines our attitude. And our degree of thankfulness determines our degree of happiness. Because our gratitude really changes our attitude. Our thankfulness changes our attitude. And if you go back to our first step, worship, it changes our perspective. But this step here in prayer, it changes our attitude. It changes how we think about certain things in life. So let me ask you, what are some things that you're thankful for in your life right now? Use prayer as a time to express the things that you're thankful for. In fact, right now, use this time to express your gratitude to Him. If you have a journal, I challenge you to write things down in your journal, maybe even on the back of your bulletin or maybe in a phone app or whatever, but begin to write things down that you can be thankful for and that you can be grateful for what God has done. And then number four, a part of that same thing, give us today our daily bread, is asking God for the things that we desire. It's making a request for God. I think this is one we all understand well, right? This is one that many of us, we know how to pray, we know how to ask for things from God. And sometimes I think we may even feel guilty for this. But the truth is, we shouldn't feel guilty. God's our Father, and He loves us so much. We're His child, right? He loves us so much that when we come to Him with requests, He wants to meet those. But I challenge you this. I challenge you to be specific in those requests as well. Be specific in those areas in your life where you want to see God move, whether it's a restoration of a marriage, whether it's the help of a struggling one with an addiction, whether it's the salvation of a lost person, whether it's a financial decision, whatever it is, be specific in those things and request God for those things. Matthew 7, 7 through 8 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Listen, it's okay to say, these are the desires of my heart. We have to get to that point saying, God, I'm asking you for this, but I'm trusting you for the result. Make request a part of your daily prayer. So right now, in this moment, let's continue to pray, and let's make some requests. Number five is confess. And part of confession is forgiveness. And asking forgiveness as well. It says, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Another translation says trespasses, which means that you basically stepped on someone's property when you didn't have the right. You did something to someone, or someone did something to you when they didn't have the right. And the result is hurt, right? What this is this is sin. And sin does that. Sin, the result of sin is either guilt or hurt. And both can weigh us down. If you look at guilt, guilt is really feeling bad for things that we've done that we've known we shouldn't have, right? It's feeling terrible for them, feeling sick. And if you think about it, guilt can stop us right in our tracks. Guilt can keep us from moving forward. Guilt can get us to that point where we just feel stuck. And this is where confession is huge, because it allows us to overcome this feeling of guilt. We can say, I confess these things. I confess these thoughts. I confess these things that I looked at. I confess the words that came out of my mouth. I confess the actions that I did. I confess the choices that I made, right? I confess. And as I confess, I receive the forgiveness that only comes through Jesus, that comes through the cross. And as I confess, I choose to walk in a different way. I confess, God, forgive me and help me change. We declare I turn from these sins and walk in freedom. This overcomes guilt and
And it should be a daily part of our lives. It should be a part of our prayer lives as well. Sin also leads to hurt. More specifically, when we've sinned against people or when people sin against us. The truth is we can let that fester, right? We can let that fester and they get worse and worse. We can get bitter or we can get better. But when we confess, when we declare forgiveness for others who have hurt us, it allows us to get better. It allows us to get better. And a part of prayer should be taking an inventory of people who wronged us and then releasing them, forgiving them for those things, saying we forgive our debtors. We forgive those who have sinned against us. Saying verbally, even saying out loud, saying, I forgive you and I release you. When we do this, it removes that hurt from us and it allows us to get better. Number five is to confess. By forgiving and pursuing forgiveness. So as we continue to pray, I want you to use this moment to confess. And maybe for you, maybe this prayer gets a little interactive, or maybe you even have to text somebody that you need to ask forgiveness for. Maybe for you, maybe it's for you, somebody's asked you and apologized to you, but you've held this grudge and you've never truly forgiven them. Maybe you need to send a text message to them and forgive them. Maybe you need to make a phone call, walk out, whatever it is. I'll challenge you during this time of prayer to use this to confess and to make things right, to remove that guilt and that hurt in your life. The final one, number six, is to declare. This is where we're aligning our lips. This is where we're aligning our life with God's purpose. It says, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. God's plan for us is to overcome temptation. God's plan for us isn't to live in evil. And we can declare this. We can declare that the temptations that have dragged us down in the past, we can declare that the things that we've fallen into the past have no longer have any power. And they're not going to stop us. We can declare that we're overcomers. That any evil formed against us will not stand. And that we've won the victory through Jesus. Through the fact that Jesus lived a perfect life, died on a cross, and was risen again for us. We can make a declaration in that. Let's use this moment to declare that God will lead us out of temptation and deliver us from evil. You've got to pray just to make it today. And it always goes back to the basics. It goes back to what Jesus taught us. So my challenge for you this week is to apply this every single day in your life. Apply these elements of prayer. Worship, agree, give thanks, request, confess, and declare. And I challenge you this too. Not only use this in your every single day life, but next week we have prayer. And if you liked that interaction time where there's just some moments to pray, this is really what we do on Sunday night. We're going to challenge you to start your week off on the second four Sundays by coming to prayer and going back to the basics. Because a focus on the basics is what determines positive results. As we close,
thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week. Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week. Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.